besides the winter storms that we have all been paying attention to this week and the things that have been going on around us, has been a couple of major news items that have dominated our world in the week. One of them, of course, is the fires in Los Angeles. And we see there a lot of things going on and a lot of people displaced and even people who have lost their lives in that fire. And then the other, of course, is the passing and the funeral of our 39th president, Jimmy Carter. Both of those have really dominated the news this week and kind of kept us centered, I think, as a nation together on the things that are going on here. In those fires, there are 10 people who are dead, 153,000 who are displaced right now. Nearly 40,000 acres have been burned in and around Los Angeles. And then we turned our attention also to the funeral of our former president. Jimmy Carter was a man who throughout his life was filled with integrity. And a couple of things in some of the books that he has written that have stood out to me. He said, "The stronger the ties that bind us to God, the more likely we are to live, react, and behave in harmony with greater joy, peace, and happiness." Another quote from one of his books, it says, "When people are intimidated about having their own opinions, oppression is at hand." And I think that is true everywhere. One of the things that we do here, especially on Wednesdays at our Bible study, is encourage people to ask questions, to make comments, to express their understanding so that we can explore things completely. I hope that there is not a bully pulpit here because I want you to explore, to learn, to grow and know for yourself what the Word of the Lord says. And sometimes if that means you need to question or challenge, then please do so. Because that's the way we all learn together. I think Jimmy Carter is a good person for us to study. Because he certainly lived his life in ways that are uplifting and an example for us all to follow in many instances. The scripture that we have for this morning is Luke chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 15 through 18 and 21 and 22. And God's word says, "As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into its granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. You know, I have found in this, we read this or a similar version from one of the other Gospels each year about this time. This is the time we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. It is on the church calendar every year this time to celebrate the baptism of our Lord, just like Christmas is on the calendar and Easter is on the calendar. And so we look at this scripture and we see that Jesus was baptized. But it's always, I think, a question in many of our minds, why? We're going to talk about that in short form this morning. But what grabs me, especially this year in this passage, is that we will be baptized by the Holy Spirit and with fire as we know Jesus our Savior. I've always been intrigued by Hebrews 12:29, and it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." A consuming fire. And what is it that fire brings? It brings, in many cases, destruction. It brings, though, a renewing also. If you've ever seen a field that has been burned, immediately afterwards, just a few days after, the greenery starts to pop up again. Life starts to grow and come from the ashes, and new life comes from that ashes. Life that could not thrive if it were being choked out by the old that was there. The creative force in all of us is, I think, that fire, that passion that God brings into our lives. A passion that gives us new insight and new understanding. A passion that calls us into new things and to separate us from the old things that we have known before the Holy Spirit, the fire, comes into our lives. You see, passion is that creative force behind all great art, all the great drama, the great music, the great architecture, the great writing. Passion is the key for all of it, and it is also the key for our relationship with a loving God. Nothing great is ever accomplished in life without passion. And nothing great will ever be accomplished in our relationship with the Lord unless we are passionate about following Him. Nothing great is ever sustained in life without a passion to it. This passion is what energizes us. It makes the impossible possible. It gives you a reason to get up in the morning and go. I'm going to do something with my life today. It's what we think when we are of the fold, following Jesus, looking to make an impact for His kingdom. You see, without passion, if it's in our relationships, if it's in our job, if it's in anything that we do, without passion, life becomes boring. Even our relationship with God. Unless there is a passion there, even that becomes boring, monotonous, routine, dull. You know the feeling because we've all experienced it. When the passion goes out of something for us or is just simply not there. And that's why God calls us into relationship with Him in fire, with fire. We are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and Luke tells us also with fire. Luke recognizes the fact that we need the passion in our lives in order to continue to be Christians in this world. God created us with emotion, and that emotion is what allows us to know passion, and therefore passion should be a part of our relationships, of our being, of our work, of all that we do. We should be passionate about it. It should be a part of our lives, and it should be part of the evidence of our faith, the passion with which we love the Lord. You see, passion is what mobilizes armies into motion. It's what causes explorers to boldly go where no one has gone before. It causes scientists to spend late night hours seeking to find a cure for some dreaded disease. Passion is what pushes a good athlete to become an MVP athlete. You've got to have passion in your life. Passion creates Hall of Famers. It makes the average piano player into a maestro. Passion turns ordinary people into great leaders. And so is there passion in your walk with the Lord? Are you passionate about following God in your life? Or do you just do it because it's expected or because it's the right thing? Is there a passion about it? And then my third question is, are you satisfied with the passion that you have in your relationship with God? I certainly am not. In the Christian walk, we have to work ever more increasingly to see that passion come to fruition, to see it build, to see it grow. Because as it grows, we too can grow. Because we become more committed. We become more set apart. We have more zeal, more love, more of all that it takes to be committed to our Lord. We find in Revelation 2 a warning for those who have faith without passion. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, to the angel of the church at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was the place that Jesus' mother Mary had her residence. She lived there. She died there, was buried there at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was an important church in the first century. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be the apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember them from what you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, he says, and to the angel of the church at Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either cold or hot. And so because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Do you realize that God is speaking to passionless people, passionless people who gather in his name? And he's saying, because there's no passion in you, I will spit you out of my mouth. It is the fire of God that causes us to be hot for him. It is a fire that he ignites in us when we accept him and allow him to work in our lives. Living a life for the Lord means that we do things differently than we did. It causes us to see a need for change and to make the change. The need to ignite the passion of our love of God doesn't necessarily mean, though, that a person is lost. Many times we as Christian people lose the passion. The fire seems to dim or even go out. It's something that we have to work at to keep it ignited, to realize God's love for us, to know that it is personal and he wants us to be his. Sometimes it could mean that a person is simply not nurturing that relationship with God, not paying attention to it. Maybe it's a person headed in the wrong direction by being led by someone else who is misguided. A guide that glorifies the works of the adversary. It could be someone in the church or a person that people spend a lot of time with. Maybe it's a person that you consider your best friend or perhaps a family member that you're close with. The fire of passion for the Lord will ward off the wolves in sheep's clothing. The fires of passion will let you lay down and find rest and peace, as the psalmist describes, in green pastures by the still waters, and then arise fresh and ready to take up your cross and follow our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, we're getting instruction for the priesthood and the things that they need to do. And it says there in verses 12 and 13, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Just as Jesus, we too are baptized with fire. That fire is seen in our passion for living and for serving God, in our passion for loving and living life in service to the people around us. And that fire is the power for us to burn up all those things that get in the way of our service, that get in the way of our worship of the Almighty and one true God. The fire of God should be burning on the altar of our lives all the time. And we have to make sure that we stoke it and we put something on it to keep that fire burning. You see, we are His temple today. He lives within us, not in a building. It's the fire of God which sustains our spiritual life. And folks, I want you to know that every person is filled with something. If it's this world, desire, whatever it is, we are filled with something. No matter saint or sinner, we're all filled with something. Few and very few are truly filled with the Holy Spirit. And the idea of the Holy Spirit coming to us and on us with fire, I think, is important to our understanding of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it is that fire of God that can quench everything that gets in the way of our relationship with God, and then the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and fill us, fill that void, fill that need that we have, that we're born with, to have relationship with our Creator. You see, some people are filled with maybe half the Holy Spirit and half something else. Some with lust or laziness or strife or anxiety or doubt or negativism or hypocrisy. Everybody is filled with something. And we've seen it displayed within God's church. All of those things. Now comes the reason for the fire. You see, the Holy Ghost is power, but the fire is the purifier. And it's necessary. And in order to be truly filled up with the Holy Spirit, you need the fire to come down and to burn the chaff out of the way. The junk, the mire that builds up in our hearts. You'll never see the power of God like you could see the power of God if you don't let the fire come down and burn in your heart. So why is it that we don't naturally invite the fire in? Because when fire starts burning, as we see right now in California, it has no limits. It's not a respecter of anything. Nobody's property, nobody's desires, nobody's pets. It doesn't respect anything. A house fire is not going to save the things that you don't want damaged. But it'll burn up everything. And the fire of God working in our lives, when it is turned loose in our life, will burn everything that is not of God. And so we resist. We hold back. We don't commit. The truth is, there's some things that we don't want destroyed. Some things that we have become comfortable living with that brings us comfort. And we don't want to see gone. What is that thing that you love more than God? I promise you, it is temporary, not everlasting. Our God is the only everlasting thing that there is. And sometimes we justify those things in our lives. Say, well, the Lord hadn't convicted me of this little thing. It's not that bad. The fact of the matter is, some folks will never have more of the Spirit in them than they do right now. They will never know the joy of living that Jesus could bring into our lives, because they will never submit. And unless you give up everything and let the fire of a baptized life in Christ work within you, burn up everything that needs to go, you will not know that relationship with God, that power that He could bring into your lives. Here's the thing. If you have a bowl that's half filled with trash and you want a bowl full of potting soil, you have to first empty the trash out so that you can fill the bowl with the potting soil. And if you don't, there's not enough room in the bowl. And the same is true with us and our relationship with the Lord. If we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we've got to make room and get out the things that caused the Holy Spirit not to take up residence within us. If there's no room for the Holy Spirit to be fully there, I don't think we have a complete relationship with the Lord. Now, when Jesus, even with the authority as Son of God, submitted His flesh to baptism, that was an example for us. That we too need to submit to baptism. We need to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit to work within us, as we saw as Jesus was baptized, so that our mind and our spirits can be free to be filled with the passion, filled with the power and the fire of God, so that we can go in true belief into this world. As Christians, we must desire to go to the place to let the fire of God start burning in our lives. And there's so much in us that needs to go. And often, it starts with our ideas of religion. But we also harbor denial, criticism, pride, strife, bitterness, lust, perversion, self-importance, and self-justification, just to begin to name a few. Today is a day that we're called to remember our baptism, to remember the faith that we expressed publicly when we stood before a congregation of believers. Water represents the cleansing of Jesus Christ. And as it flows, it represents living water of a living Spirit that works within us and brings the fire of the Almighty God to come and to get rid of the things that need to be gotten rid of, so that we can be whole and full before Him. And we take that water and we submit before God, using this as an example of the way we are cleansed as we do. And then that fire comes within us and builds the passion. I want you to literally remember, when you were baptized, was there not a passion in your heart to follow Christ, a passion to be His, a passion to live as a part of His church in the world? He wants us to keep that passion. He wants us to know that passion daily. We need the cleansing fire of God to get rid of everything in our lives that's not of Him. Some of us would rather, though, be friends with someone full of anger and denial than to have the power of the Holy Spirit loose the flames of repentance in our lives. How much power and peace and love are we missing out on because we will not submit to that cleansing flame of God? Today is the day. It's time to let that fire burn within you, to seek it, to invite it in, to give it place like never before. It's time for us to truly cry out to the Lord, "All I want is you." Father, if you need to take away my fortunes, my fame, my reputation, my friends, my family, my goods, take it all away if that's what I need to be drawn to you. And when you get to this place, you'll eventually find yourself with more anointing than you've ever dreamed of, more peace than you could ever otherwise know, and a joy that surpasses understanding of all kinds. You see, you will be filled up with the Holy Spirit. And what is the reason that we need to be filled with that Holy Spirit? So that we can be His. He's called us. He's given us opportunity. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 at verse 18, "Buy from me gold refined by fire." And the reason for that is, if you take a piece of gold with a bunch of impurities, the value of it's not that great. But if you have gold that is refined in fire and pure gold, the value of it greatly increases. I think that there's nothing more disheartening to God than for Him to have saved us by His own Son's death just for us to sit around and be worthless to His kingdom because there's no fire within us, no passion that leads us, pushes us, encourages us, sustains us to be His. And when we do this, then the full assurance of Isaiah 43 at verse 2 applies to us as well. It says, "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Yes, we read it earlier in the service. And so I challenge all of you to be aware of the passion in your life. Be aware that that flame of God is there. And Scripture says that as Jesus prayed, then after He was baptized, He prayed and the Holy Spirit came on Him like a dove. In a very real way it came on Him. And the fire, with fire, it says. And that same Holy Spirit comes to us as well when we submit. And that same fire is also available to us, His church, His people, those whom He loves. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.